Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point. And the point today is Rebecca Maxwell, a Cleveland native, someone who is very well known for her creativity and the excellence that she puts out. Rebecca, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to chat with you.
Same.
So give us a little bit of background, kind of who you are, why Cleveland, what is Rebecca's story?
Yeah, so I am originally from Euclid, Ohio. Grew up there my whole life. My parents are still there. And growing up, my family had season tickets to the Indians, like, since before I was born. So I was coming downtown, like, at a very early age, and I loved it. I was like, I love, like, the big city, even though we're, like, kind of a smaller big city. I loved it, and I was like, I want to live down there one day. Like, that was my goal, like, as a kid. And I finally made it happen. I never really knew if I was going to or not. I went to college for a year, and it just was not for me. I never felt that inclined to do anything, like, specific college-wise. I thought I wanted to be a teacher. I'm so glad that I did not do that. But came home and then immediately started in the service industry. I started at a golf course, and then I was hosting at a restaurant, and I just fell in love with the atmosphere and, like, being able to talk to people and meet so many different people. Something that I really pride myself on is my ability to talk to anyone. So that really helped with the service industry. So I've been doing that for 13 years and worked at so many different places, but connected with so many people. And then in August of 2019, I started a clothing business called 2-1 Thrift. So I've been doing that for 4 years. I thrift and repurpose sports clothes, mainly for women. Our options are a little bit limited on the sports side. I was tired of seeing pink jerseys and, like, really not cute clothes. I'm like, a man definitely designed this. So I started that, and that took off, like, right away. I remember posting, I think I posted 10 shirts my first day, and they all sold in the first day. And I was like, all right, I guess we're doing this. Like, I just had a stack of clothes that I have more Cleveland clothes than anyone would ever need. My grandma got me into thrifting really early on, so I would find really cool vintage stuff. And then I started buying, like, other things, and I was like, I think I could do something with this eventually. And then I finally was like, all right, let's just try it. We'll see. So, yeah, it took off, and then it's, like, grown into so much more. I was initially just bleaching shirts, and now it's turned into so much more, which, like, I'm so thankful for. And then I recently, in February, started an event-based organization for the women of Cleveland to create friendships. A lot of girls in their 20s and 30s say it's really hard to make friends as an adult, and I've never felt that to be the case because I'm extremely extroverted. Like, I will see a girl on Instagram, and I'm like, if we have been following each other for 2 years and we're constantly hyping each other up, we're friends. Like, we're friends, and we're going to be friends in real life eventually. You just don't know it yet. It's but funny. I'm going to make that happen. Right. So it seemed like, especially post-COVID, there was really a need for human connection. And we're also on our phones now that I think that we've lost a little bit of that. So being able to connect people has been so fun. And, like, even the response to that, I didn't expect it right away. I knew it would work eventually. I knew people wanted it, but it took off right away. And I'm so excited about it. I have my next event at the end of this month, and it's already, we're, like, at 50 tickets already. So I'm hoping for 100. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. We got, like, 3 weeks left. So I think we can do it.
You're always creating and doing. And that's kind of was the intro, like, I had given you, and this 2-1 Thrift and the women's group, it's called the girls room, right?
Yeah.
The girls room are just, like, the icing on the cake, I think, of seemingly years of practice in the service industry that have allowed you to be so effective now in your creative endeavors.
Yeah.
Let's start with the most recent. Let's dive into the girls room a little bit. Do you remember a specific moment that kind of was like, this is why we need this, right? Did you have a conversation with someone that really sparked it, or was it kind of just like you noticed with COVID and the lack of interaction?
So I've actually, I had the idea for 5 years before I did it. It was a different basis. So when I first moved downtown, I moved downtown 6 years ago, and I started having these parties because I love event planning. I just love to host. It's, like, one of my favorite things. My parents always hosted parties, so I really had that, like, want to get people together and, like, make food for people. That's my love language. I love cooking for people.
Got it.
So moved downtown, and started having these parties because I wanted all of my friends to be friends. I didn't want to have to pick and choose who I get to hang out with, when I get to hang out with them. I have a large circle, so I don't want to have to like have weird, awkward interactions with people. I wanted everyone to be friends. Started, had my first wine and cheese party, and I just did like a huge table of cheese board, and it worked. I have two annual parties a year, and they've just grown and grown. This past year I had to have two Galentine's Day parties because there were just so many. I just want to invite everybody. I want everyone to be invited. So like 5-6 years ago, I was trying to like kind of starting to get into like more of the fitness class world, and that's a very intimidating world to enter, especially by yourself. So the initial idea was all based around fitness classes, and it would be this women's group of, hey, you sign up for this, and you will be one of 20 other people that it's their first time. So you don't have to feel weird. You don't have to be, you know, shy. I think that is a large problem in the fitness industry, is just that people are so insecure about starting. So it started all based around fitness classes. I had a full business plan. I wrote everything down. Like, I wish I could find it. I think I might have thrown it away, but fully prepared. And then I just never went forward with it. So then after the Galentine's Day parties, like I had one at my apartment and then I had one at a local like wine spot. Okay. So I was like, I just brought 60 girls into this venue. Spending money in this local venue, a way to support a female-owned business. And I was like, all right, it's time. Like, if I can get 60 people to just come hang out with me, I think I can make sure. This happen, sure. You know? So it kind of started with that Galentine's Day party because, you know, I'll have girls message me. They'll be like, hey, I want to be invited to the next one. And I was like, I only have so much room in my apartment, but like, you're on the list next year. So yeah. Now it's just like, all right. Yeah. Yeah. So started off with a sip and swap. So they're all going to have different concepts and different venues and different features. I want people to like... It's not just gonna be, let's go get drinks. Like, we don't have to just drink all the time. Like, we can do, other fun things. We had a wellness event. It was the first one without alcohol. And I was kind of like, I don't know if people are gonna be into this. So almost sold out. Like, so just things that can highlight things to do around the city. And like, we had a golf event and half of the girls, I was like, I didn't think it was gonna work. I was like, I don't know if girls like to golf. 85 tickets sold. Oh my God. It was packed. They like, and now all these people know that that venue exists, and like they can. Some girls like set up lessons, so I want it to be mutually beneficial, not only for the people attending and they make connections, but also for the businesses. Absolutely. And I try to. I have like a welcome envelope where I highlight local businesses. They give like a coupon. Like it's very fun. Like I want it to be a full experience. Like, it's not just like, hey, come to a party. Like, it is a full experience. And, like, I want you to feel welcome when you walk in the door. And that's what it's been. It's been unreal. And, like, seeing people, we were talking about the clothes, seeing people in my clothes. Seeing girls that I know met at an event hang out outside of the events. It's like, it makes me want to cry. Yeah. I'm like, that is the coolest thing ever.
You're like playing Cupid except with friends.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Like, yeah.
Creating friendships. That's so amazing. How do you send them off at the end of these events? Like, so you welcome them. But how, what do you do at the end?
I do like a little speech in the beginning, which I've always done at all of my parties because sure. I'm just thankful that people come and want to hang out. So I always do a speech at the beginning, so I'll do a speech, kind of just go over like how the event will run. And then I always, always end every speech with, I hope you leave with one more friend than you came with. Yeah. I just encourage people, you know, swap Instagrams, like, you know, talk to somebody you don't know, and like then they figure it out from there. I'll see people like a lot of Instagram following and like connections, like people will know someone in common and they're like, oh my God, like it's just like, yeah. So I kind of let them do their thing and then we just go from there.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Great. So tell us about this event that's coming up at the end of the month.
Yeah. So, You've heard of like an all-white party before? Like it's like...
Honestly, no.
Okay, so many people haven't heard of them. Maybe it's just like... Okay, rich people do it.
Okay.
So like on The Real Housewives, this woman has an all-white party at the end of the summer every year. Everyone wears all white. Okay. And so I want to do one of those, but I will wait to the end of the summer. And I was like, okay, I want everything to kind of have a theme.
Yeah.
We did a Kentucky Derby party, and everyone was so excited that they got to dress up and like okay. something that we normally wouldn't do in Cleveland, something to put an outfit together for, like anything for putting an outfit together for, like people are in. They're 100%. Like, yes, I want to do that.
That's all prom is. You just market prom. Like,
exactly. Exactly.
Nation phenomenon.
Right. Like, yeah. So I knew I wanted this one to be outside, so we're doing it on Velvet Dog's rooftop. And
best rooftop in Cleveland.
I know, I love it so much. So, but I knew it wasn't the right venue for a white party. And I was like, all right, I don't want to do pink because I don't want the girls who really aren't into pink to feel like they aren't welcome or anything like that. So it's a green party. So everyone will be wearing green. We'll have green cocktails. I have two clothing vendors that are going to pop up. I have a girl that does permanent bracelets. I have a tiny tattoo artist coming. I kind of wanted it to feel kind of like a carnival type deal where there's like things to do. But yeah, I think it's going to be really fun. I was just thinking about my outfit on the way over here. I'm like, what am I going to wear? I should probably figure that out. But yeah, I'm like, I think I know what pants I'm gonna wear. I just gotta figure out what shirt I'm gonna wear. But yeah, right. But yeah, just an all green, just really like this one will be just a social event. Some of them, you know, the golf one was interactive where you're, you know, going up and golfing, and the wellness one, everyone got like an IV. So I think my next one will be a Mean Girls trivia night. Okay. So we just have to lock in a date for that. But yeah, I'm very excited. I think it's going to be a really fun party.
I'm excited for you. You have endless opportunities for the girls' room, which is great.
And
I think in Cleveland, too, you have a lot of people who, like you mentioned, are really kind of willing to do whatever. Like, people are willing to dive in. If you give them a reason, they're going to go for it.
Right.
I think that's kind of like how the city is in general. I mean, look at, for example, any of our sports teams. If you give anyone even a glimmer of thought that maybe we'll be decent,
we're in. Yeah.
And so as you think of those kind of things, what do you see as like the end game? Do you see this just staying in Cleveland? Do you see it expanding? What is kind of the thought process with that?
So I actually am meeting with a girl in Columbus next week.
Congratulations.
So she reached out to me and she was like, I love what you're doing. There's like a Facebook page in Columbus called Columbus Girl Gang. And people just post, you know, things to do, or like, you know, people meet people on this Facebook page.
Yeah.
So she was like, we have that, but we don't have anything that is events. So she wants to basically help me open like a section of it down there. So we're going to meet on Tuesday next week, and I'm going to be like, all right, this is what I need from you. Like, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. Like, I will help as much as possible, but obviously I live in Cleveland. So hopefully like we can get even more locations and stuff like that happening. It's just about if there's somebody there that wants to handle it and take it over. And I have a very high standard of how things will go. So it just has to align, and I have to, you know, align with them. And then eventually I would like to have a sector of the girls' room that is a co-ed event thing. You know, people want to meet co-eds, you know, and then I would like to have like a mom's section, so people with kids. I think that is really my main focus too, is connecting people with like-minded, like, and like the same interests. And you know, when I had a boyfriend, I was like, I need friends that have boyfriends because you're always doing stuff with your boyfriend. So it's like, I think the mom thing would be really fun. Like, I'll have somebody else around that, because like, I don't want to be around your kids, but like, y'all have fun. Yeah. Like, meet some mom friends, play date.
It's such a need too, right? Like, I think about just like most moms end up just being friends with their kids' moms.
Right.
And it's like, you wonder how much of that's organic and how much of it's like, okay, our kids are friends, so I guess we're friends.
Exactly.
You know, so this could create that opportunity for them to
exactly
find someone that maybe they actually would be friends with outside of
them. Right, right. And then get them, like, even there's like kid-friendly things that people probably don't know about here and stuff like that. Even stuff in the city, like there's like a candy shop downtown, or there's like things that you can do with kids, but you just don't know about them because you're in the suburbs and hanging with your kids and, you know, at the playground. So
yeah,
So, yeah.
That's awesome. I think you're right on the right track, right where you're supposed to be with it all. I'm really excited. To be transparent to all our listeners, Rebecca has a lot of content, but the content that struck me recently was about the girls' room. That was the part that I was like, I gotta hear more about that. I mean, everything, but that was the most recent endeavor. It really struck my interest. So that was what prompted me to reach out to you. And I saw it growing, and I love the idea behind it, because you are right. I think it's very weird to make friends. I'm like you, I'm wired like you, a large group, large circle, feel like I can talk to people and just enjoy, I mean, that's a podcast, I guess.
Right.
Just enjoy connecting and communicating with people. So it's really an awesome idea and program that you have going on.
Thanks. I'm very excited about it. I'm very in love with it right now. So I hope it keeps going.
It will, because it's going to be people that are changing all the time. Right. To change it. It's up to your discretion.
So. Right. And my ideas, I have a list. I'm like adding to it every day. I'll like hear about a venue where I'll see a concept or like something. And I'm just like adding. I'm like, all right, I know this will work there. This will work there. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
I'm excited for you. One thing you had mentioned, Rebecca, that I wanted to touch on a little bit is that you feel like you are able to communicate with anyone. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to interrupt our thoughts earlier, but to take you back to that, what strengthened that for you? How did that skill become something that you have?
Honestly, I feel like coming from the family that I do, we are all very, very in the community, very extroverted. It was always just kind of like my parents had us talking to adults, like, We weren't like sheltered really at all. We had a neighborhood that was very intertwined. Everyone knew each other. I think I just always kind of had it. I can't think of a time that I didn't have the ability to just talk to anyone. And I do think the service industry really did help that too. Just because it's on a level where this is your job and you have to be nice to people. So now it just comes naturally. Like now it's just like, all right, like, we might be different, but we can still talk. I can have a conversation and have any open dialogue. It's I don't get upset easily. I don't get offended easily. I think that's the main thing is you can say whatever you want and I might not agree with you, but that's okay. Cause that's what humans do. Like that's who we are. We're not all supposed to be the same. So it's just, it's really honestly just come naturally. I wish I had a better answer for that, but.
You've got to practice it though.
And I grew up in sports. I grew up in choir. We were always very active. So just always meeting people.
And when you meet people from different walks of life, whether it's in the different choir, sports, you meet a whole array of people. And then of course the service industry and slews of people that are coming in from all walks of life, that helps you to be able to build a different types of connections and be the skills needed to communicate with people.
Just learning by doing,
And I think, so to give this a little bit of a nod, one of the places you worked was downtown a little bit at Velvet. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
Let's touch on that, because something I was going to say is, with the volume that you have, now you're really doing it, right? So now you don't even have time to sit and think. It's just fast communication, and I think that's something that's really, I think everyone should be in the service industry. That's my hot take. Everyone should be in the service industry. Yes. For at least some point in their life, because you really
learn how to be a better person.
Yeah. And to be patient and calm and not get aggravated.
Yeah. So starting at Velvet, it started 6 years ago, and I had just moved downtown, and I was going out every weekend, and I was going to Velvet Dog every single weekend, and I was you know what? I think I should just work here. Why not? All my friends come here. I'll still be able to be a part of the party, but I'll be making money instead of spending it. So I started on the main bar and then quickly got moved to my own little bar. And then now I'm upstairs on my own bar. I think my superpower when it comes to not only bartending, but connecting with people is I remember things about people. And I know how to make people feel special. Yeah. My favorite, I've been telling this story so much. This guy, I would say it was maybe 3 weeks ago, comes into my bar, and I had seen him 2 weeks before, maybe three. And what I try to do to make my job easier, but also make people feel special, is remember what they were drinking. So every time you come up to my bar, you don't even have to wait. I just say same thing. And they're okay, cool. And it just helps me go faster, but also it builds that rapport with people. Like, they like, they're like, I'm gonna go to that bar because she remembered my drink.
Absolutely.
So this guy comes in and I recognized his face, and I was like, I was checking somebody out and I was like, what was he drinking last time? Like, let's rock this guy's socks off. Like, let me just impress him really quick. So I go up to him and I was like, and I wasn't 100% sure, but I was like, it's either a gin and tonic or a vodka water. And it was a vodka water. And he was like, how did you remember that? But now he'll always go to my bar.
Absolutely.
You know? And it's just like that little thing when you're interacting with people, remembering something about them that you can bring up the next time that you see them. Making people feel special is like the easiest thing to do, and it's the most lucrative thing to do to build.
Such an honor, really, too.
Like, right. When people feel like they're heard and like it wasn't just like a passerby interaction, it just changes everything.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Especially in an industry like that where for all intents and purposes, it is very transactional. It's like, hey, may I have a drink? And you're like, yes, here's your drink. And
right.
Like, so if you can add some, I don't mean to downplay, but add some more value to it. Like,
yeah.
Because like, you're validating the humanity as opposed to just like, here's a drink.
Right. I have regulars that come up from Columbus and they come and see me every time they're in Cleveland. They stop at my bar.
Yeah.
And like, now we're friends, you know, people come, they know that I'm going to go hug them, or like, you know, they're not just going to a bar to get a drink. They're getting an experience as well.
I love it.
Yeah.
Do you have an instance that maybe is interesting or just off the cuff? Do you have a crazy story? I feel like every bartender has like a crazy story.
People always ask that. And I just like can never think of, I try not to focus on anything negative, so I pretty much like block it out.
Even in a good way.
Yeah.
What about another Taylor? I think a lot of times people remember when they've gotten to serve the LeBron James to the world. Have you had instances where you've gotten to serve someone?
Not really. Yeah, we really, like, we're not the place that really like brings in celebrities and stuff. It's been funny because a lot of people, just in the last year, like, you know, I started making TikToks and stuff like that, and it's blown up a little bit. And people will come in and they're like, oh my God, I follow you. And like, I don't know what to say. I'm just like, oh, thank you. Like, so there's like different sectors of, if they tell me they follow me on TikTok, there's like one reaction. But if like I said, Brown Sundays, there's a lot of middle-aged men that follow me on Twitter. And I'm just like, sorry, you see all of my thoughts. Everything that comes into my brain goes on Twitter. So I'm like, but they love it, so I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, but that's been a fun aspect too, where like people will come in and they'll be like, we came to this bar. Like, I had ladies come up from Toledo.
Oh my God.
Because they followed me on TikTok and they just wanted to come to my bar.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So why did you start making TikToks?
So my boss kind of encouraged it. I started in 2020, you know, we're at home doing nothing. But I was kind of against it at first. I was just like, it's not really my thing. Like, video is not really my strong suit. And my boss really wanted us to start doing TikToks at work. So I was like, all right, if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be me because I'm the one that does the most social media. So we started doing them. And I think the first one that really blew up, it was like an Impractical Joker sound, like the Tupperware one. I don't know if you've ever. Okay, so it's like they're doing a podcast or whatever, and he mispronounces something. So the one that's really easy and fun to go with is like the Tito's and vodka. So everyone, once a night, somebody orders a Tito's and vodka. So we did that and like it blew up. Like overnight it had like a million views and I was like, oh, I'm like, we're on to something here. So I would just go in and do them before work, and it started to be really fun. Like I would do like staff questions and just like, I don't know, things to just make work more fun.
Absolutely,
too.
Yeah. And you get to bring out that creative side of employees, of whoever seeing it, that interaction with the, I don't want to say fans, but I guess fans in the comments is, it's so fun.
Right, and it's just like we were talking about before, like I need to be meeting as many people as possible for what I want to do.
Yeah.
So people seeing my face regularly and, you know, like watching the videos and even seeing non-bartending stuff, I try to integrate like thrifting stuff and lifestyle stuff, and it's just like it is really fun to share, because then it's the same thing where people will come up and they know something about me, or they, you know, they can bring up a video that I did and then we have something to talk about. Like,
absolutely.
So it's been really fun. I do like it a lot.
It's cool because people can know you for a lot of different things,
right?
You know, so you aren't just a bartender, you're not just a TikToker, you're not just the thrifter, you have like all of these things.
Yeah.
So it's fun when people come up to you, kind of like you're mentioning, when it's like, oh, I saw you from TikTok, and you're like, oh, well, check out all the rest of the stuff.
Right.
And then you create this whole circle of people that know you for a lot of different reasons, but then we can like kind of become part of the full circle.
Which was kind of always, you know, as far as I can remember, like before I went to high school, I was like, I am going to be that girl. Like, that was my goal. Like, I'm going to be known, I'm going to be popular, I'm going to be prom queen. I want that. Like, okay. You know, you grow up watching these movies and I'm like, that's the life that I want to live. And I did.
The Mean Girls, right?
Yeah, I'm like, but I was a nice girl. I was only popular for being nice.
I just met them.
But that's kind of what I've always wanted. Like, I've kind of, not like fame, but I just want to be known. I want to be able to go somewhere and I know someone, you know. I just like being known. It's fun for me. It's I don't know.
It's from that childhood where your family was always having parties and hosting and had people around.
Yeah.
I think it all is all interconnected.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Gosh, wow. It's amazing how it all transpires too. Like, some things really are so innate and then some things are developed along the way. Mm-hmm. This is clearly a running trend in your life where people and groups and relationships are pivotal.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I don't know, I want it to be, I just want to be a place where people feel comfortable and not judged. And like, you know, I'm friends with so many different random groups of people. It's just like in high school, it was like, I was in show choir, but I was also in sports. And then I also did this. And it was just like, I don't know. I think I find so much value in all those different random connections.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. And you're multifaceted. You're not just one being. Like, you have a lot of interests.
Right.
I think it takes someone who has a little bit of confidence, a little bit of courage to go and dabble in all of those things, because then you're the leader, right? Like, you're the person that's doing all these different things. So in high school, particularly, right? Like, if you're involved in all these things, kids look up to you.
Right. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to be the captain of every sports team. I'm going to be, and like, that was just, I knew that I had it in me to be that person. So I was like, why would I not?
Yeah.
You know?
How did you keep the discipline to go with that?
In high school?
Generally.
Or like, okay, keep it going.
Because I think like the drive, like having that desire, right? And that's consistent across the board. Like you just mentioned with Columbus when the girls were like, it's going to be great or we're not doing it.
Yeah.
And so if you have that consistently, you know, very quickly you got your own bar. Like, it's consistent. So what is the discipline part of the drive?
I think that I am partially a perfectionist.
Okay. Sounds like it.
Yeah, I've always wanted to be the best at everything. I'm the youngest child of four, so I don't know if maybe that played a part in it, but I've just like, if I'm gonna do something, I'm going to do it well. And I like, I always say I'm like, I'm good at everything, but I'm not great at one thing, which I don't know that to be completely true, but if I'm not good at something immediately, I'm one that I will not do it anymore.
Okay.
So I have found things that I'm good at and that I can strive and succeed. And I've always kind of wanted to be able to live my life the way I want to without somebody telling me what I have to do.
Got it.
Like, working for myself is wonderful. Yeah. Like, I love it. I wouldn't trade it for the world. If I don't want to work today, I don't have to.
Sure.
But I know I have to make up for it later. But it's only on me to do that. And I think I kind of always wanted that. Like, when I was a kid, I just kind of, I felt very restricted. I had very strict parents. So I think it was like, I want to be in charge of everything.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be calling the shots. So I made it happen.
So you're doing it.
Yeah. Like,
makes sense with the college thing too, right? Like, college wasn't your fit. College is very much so structured for work for the man, like do the 9-to-5 kind of thing.
Right.
Capacity. That's so interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I've always just been, I want to go with the flow. I want to be creative. I want to love what I do. I want to wake up every day happy. And I do. I love my life. So I'm very lucky.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I want to turn around for you a little bit, Rebecca, here. All of this is rooted in Cleveland. And we've talked about this a little bit. But for our audience, what is it about Cleveland? And in one of your posts about the culture, you talk about the people and you talk about just how awesome, really, the people of Cleveland are. What is it, A, about the people, but B, about the city that keeps you here and wanting to grow everything you do in Cleveland?
Yeah. I think that, you know, that Midwestern hospitality it's such a thing. Like, it is real. You go elsewhere and it's like, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. Like, here everyone is friendly, like, for the most part, obviously. But it's always been a sense of community here too. And like, I think with Cleveland, we are such like an underdog because you know, we're the butt of everyone's joke. Every sitcom you watch, every movie you watch, they say something about Ohio, something about Cleveland, and they've never been here.
And everyone thinks it's funny.
Right. And like, you know what? It is what it is, but like, you can talk about us, but like, or you can't talk about us, but we can talk about us. Like, we can make fun of ourselves, but you cannot. So I think showing off that there is so much more here than people think, and there are so many fun things to do. We just have to go out and do them.
Yeah.
Like,
the girls are.
Yeah. Like, there's no limit to things that you can do here. You just have to find them. And people from the outside looking in, they're not going to realize that. They don't really care that much. But the people here care. And they care about the community. And they care about supporting each other's businesses. And I always tell people, one of my favorite things about Cleveland is chain restaurants don't do that great here. Like, yeah, you have people that go here and there. But, like, we love local. Anything local, sign me up. Any new local restaurant, I'm going. Like, I'm going in the first week. But, like, I haven't been to a chain restaurant in a year, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, I love that aspect. Like, the support is here. And people that live here and want to be here want to build the city up. Because they also see the potential.
I totally agree with that. Yeah. There's so many opportunities because of that. Mm-hmm. And I think it really allows for people like you or like I, who are kind of aspiring to influence other people in some capacity, to do that, because people buy in. So just like the business that's starting, like when you're a person who's trying to do these things, the people buy into you.
Right.
You're authentic. If you're good, people are going to, again, I keep saying it, but buy into that and dive in. I think that's what Cleveland is.
Yeah.
Like, it's full of opportunities because it's not gargantuan and oversaturated. And
right.
It's full of opportunities because the people that make it up want there to be, want it to be amazing.
Right. And like, people will come here and visit and they'll be like, wow, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course you don't, because like, now we have all the, you know, all these wonderful Instagram pages highlighting all the things in Cleveland. I love watching them. I'm like, this is so cool to just see like the city highlighted in a positive light, because we're always looked at so negatively.
Right.
Like, all right, we have bad sports teams, but like, there's still thousands of people at those games. Like, you know.
Yeah, they're a blast.
Yeah, I'm like, we have the most loyal fans in football. So what? Oh, like, sure. You know, what do you mean? Like,
you mentioned Indians.
Yeah, I'm like, that doesn't matter to us. It's like, we're still going to support, because it's our team. Like, it's our home, so.
So do you think that you would ever even venture out of Cleveland, or is this?
It's potential. I do think that at some point being here might keep me in a box that I don't want to be in, but I'm going to get to the top here before I move on, you know, and I'm going to have, and it's not going to stop here. Like, I'm going to, if I get to the point where I can have people running things for me, and even like a younger generation, like pass it on to like to girls that are in their 20s still when I'm 40, you know,
right.
You know, I'm not going to,
you're in the mom's group.
Yeah. Like, I'll be in the mom's group, but, I don't know. There is, people tell me all the time, they're like, you got to leave Cleveland. You got to leave Cleveland. If you want to do anything, you got to leave Cleveland. And I'm like, I don't really think that I do. I think that I have the power to stay here and do what I want to do. And like, the cost of living here is great.
Honestly,
like, I look at other places and I'm like, $3,000 for a downtown apartment. I'm like,
for one smaller than the one you're living in.
Right, right. So like, that is like the main aspect that really, I'm not that interested in leaving yet.
And that's another thing. Like, that's what ties into, it's so reasonable. Like, everything about Cleveland is so reasonable across the board.
Right.
People, to the monetary advantages, to the opportunities just being abundant.
We have water, we have metro parks, like there's not a lack of anything here, I don't think.
No. You know? Your house is going to get swept away in a mudslide.
Right, no natural disasters. I always say I would never live anywhere where there's natural disasters.
Seriously.
Like, I just don't get it.
More than half the country.
Right, right. I'm like, I have 3 sports teams here. Concerts come here all the time. And if they don't, they come to Detroit or Columbus. Like, and it's a 2-hour drive.
Right.
I'm going to a concert in Columbus on Tuesday.
Yes.
Like, it's just like so easy. There's just so much here. Mm-hmm. Like, so there's really no reason to leave just yet.
I like that.
We'll see.
That. Yeah, you still got more to do.
Yeah. Well, and
Cleveland,
like, and living here, I can travel more because I can afford to travel more.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. Maybe one day, but I'm in no rush to leave.
In your endeavors here, we talked about 2-1 Thrift, and I love the name to play off the 216. So Cleveland, of course, is the 216 with our area code. Talk to me a little bit about that process. How did you come up with the name? Let's start there, and then B, let's dive into what you're doing with your business, really.
So I did not come up with the name. That is one thing that my creativity is not wonderful with, is naming things and like coming up with like really cohesive, like good names. So I had gone on a date with a guy that was a writer, and I was like, I need your writer's brain. Like, I need help. Cause I knew we were like, you know, my friend and I were trying to go through names, and I was just like, eh. I knew I wanted to incorporate Cleveland, and I knew that I wanted it to be known that it was a thrifting company, you know? So I told him that, and that was the first thing he said was Two on Thrift. And I was like, there it is.
Yeah.
I was like, that's perfect. I was like, thank God, because I couldn't even think of like what I would come up with. I would have never come up with that.
As an aside, I'm just blown away by how things go. Like, the way you phrase it makes me recognize the guy's not still around. So it's interesting that like this date
right.
leads to the business name that you now use. Like,
right.
One decision leads to so many things. It's fascinating
right.
how that all works.
I told him like a few years later, I'm like, I owe you so much for that. So thank you. Like, sorry it didn't work out, but thank you so much. So
why is that fascinating?
Yeah.
Just in its nature.
I know. That's the thing, is like one interaction can like change so much in your life. And like, I think that's something that a lot of people take for granted, like not interacting with people. Like, you never know who you're gonna meet.
I think it's part of the reason like why people like us want to do so much and like are involved in so many things, because I'm like, I just enjoy the banter with people, and you never know what's gonna happen from it. And you're not in it for the, well, what if, but you're in it for the joy of the moment.
Right.
And that leads to other joys of that moment. And then you're like, wow.
Right.
Look at all this that stemmed from one decision.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I love the name. I'm very happy with it, so.
Yeah. Tangent aside, sorry. Yeah. So what are you doing with 2-1 Thrift? Let's let our audience know a little bit about it. I know you told me, which is fascinating.
Yeah. So I thrift and repurpose sports clothes mainly, and I'm mainly for women. I do have men's stuff, and men ask all the time. Like, all the t-shirts and sweatshirts are men's sizes. I shop mostly in the men's section, but I'm a girl's girl, and you guys, you know, you're going to throw a jersey on anyway. Like, I really do think over the last 5 years now, the aspect of game day fashion has changed so much, where people are, I mean, they're putting together fits. They look good. Like, it is like an event that you are putting an outfit together for, and people love that unique aspect, where as like companies like myself are doing so well, because I don't want to be wearing the same t-shirt, and there's a million Cleveland t-shirt companies, you know.
And GV Art's like,
right,
good luck.
Right,
you're trying to compete with them.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Exactly. So I'm like, I, you know, I always like, I would always buy all the Cleveland t-shirts, and I was like, people want this no matter how many they already have.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
It's never gonna not be lucrative to have a Cleveland t-shirt company, or like, you know, a sports t-shirt company in general, because that's not going away. People want it, and people are willing to spend so much money on sporting events and like stuff like that. So yeah. And like, it's just been, it's really fun, because I love, you know, being able to make something that I might not like. Like, during COVID, there were only 2 thrift stores open. So I was driving out to North Olmsted and Brecksville to go to these 2 stores, and they really didn't have much. So I had to really get creative, and I made a lot of things that I didn't really like. But my best friend loved every single one of them.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, I don't have to like them for other people to like them.
Yeah,
like, so yeah, I was like, okay. I don't have to be in love with everything, because not everybody's style is like mine.
Sure.
So that's what's been really fun, is that I get to make something different every day. And like, I'm never doing the same thing twice, and my creativity can just like run wild. I'll see a shirt and I'll know exactly what I want to do with it. Like, just seeing it on the rack, and I'm like, all right. Like, and then sometimes I'll have periods where I don't have that. It's not in me that week. And I just, I'm like, all right, that's okay. Like, we can work on other aspects of the business. Like, and stuff like that. But it's just been so fun. And like, started making other teams, and like stuff like TikToks will blow up with that. And it's just like, I've made stuff for athletes' wives, and yeah, it's just been really fun. So
yeah, that's good. And that builds that outreach again too.
Right.
I have to ask you kind of touched on like the competitiveness of it, and we talked about GR work. Have you had any interactions with these what is it like being in an industry with the Emily Rockerbergs of the world, the GDRs of the world, who are Cleveland-based pinnacles?
Yeah. So I would say, like, I don't really interact with them as much. They're just on a different scale and a different level. But I have some friends that work for Cleveland Clothing Company, and we kind of talked about doing a collab. It just never, like, came to fruition.
Yeah.
But I also try, I make sure that I don't use any of the local companies' clothes in my designs, because I just, it doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah.
Like, big corporations, sure, like, whatever, I'll do that, I don't care. But I try not to do the local stuff, because they made that. That's, you know, that's theirs to have and to sell. It's not mine to sell. So, I haven't really had much with them. Like, you know, like, we follow each other and like pictures and stuff like that. But I think we're kind of just in two little different sectors of the Cleveland clothing world. So
I think it's another cool part of it. And I was curious, and I was expecting you to say that, because I think a lot of times in other places, right, it's more cutthroat. And I don't think it's, again, a testimony to the people here. I think it's very cohesive. And have you ever seen the movie War Dogs?
I haven't. Okay, I'm not a big movie person.
Long story short, it's Jonah Hill and Miles Teller, and they're arms dealers. They're international arms dealers. Mm-hmm. And Jonah Hill's acquaintance, Miles Teller, is trying to get him on board. And he's like, we're dealing with the government. He's like, we don't need the whole pie. He's like, we just need the crumbs.
Yeah.
Saying, like, the whole pie is, you know, a multi-trillion dollar industry.
Right.
He's like, we just need the crumbs to be even
exactly.
And I feel like that's kind of maybe a really similar analogy of what's
going on. Yeah. I actually have I always say, and there's people that do similar things to me, things that I do, not to me. But I always say, I want everybody to eat, just don't take off my plate.
Okay.
As long as you're not copying the same thing that I'm doing, do it in your own way.
Yeah.
Be creative in your own way. And I think that that has helped me, like, not get mad when other people are doing similar things. And, like, I'm like, okay, but they're doing it differently. Like, that's okay. And, like, we can all succeed. But just don't take off my plate.
Like, sure, just like you're going to take them off of their plate.
Right.
Yeah, it's consistent.
Right. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Rebecca, you started the brand that you're wearing, or the line, I should say, right? It's the line of your brand. So I'm glad you woke up today.
Yes.
Want to talk to us a little bit about that and maybe the mental health component of the business?
Yeah. So I had a friend pass away from suicide a few years back. That was really the kickstart. I was like, how do I support this? And I wanted to release a shirt that part of the proceeds were going to, you know, suicide prevention. And that was the first time that I had ever been directly affected by it. And I was like, you're never prepared for it. Right. So, and I think it's something that is talked about so much more now that I'm glad we're talking about it. Like, we should be. And I just kind of had, I like I said, I was at my workout class, and I just kind of had this idea. I wanted to get into more things that were not just sports-based. Not everybody's into sports. Not everybody's into Cleveland. So I've tried a bunch of different random designs. I'm like, I'll try anything, see if it catches on. If it doesn't, that's okay. Like, you know, why not? Why not try it? So I knew I wanted to come up with something that wasn't super, like, shoving mental health down your throat, but, like, meaningful. Like, mm-hmm. So, like, this one, I have a design where it's backwards too. Okay. So when you look in the mirror, you're reading it back to yourself.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So, then this one, it says keep going on the back. So, like, you're at a store, someone behind you reads it. Yeah. That changes their day. T-shirts can change somebody's day when they read it. So that was kind of what I wanted to do with this line, was just something that was subtle enough, but uplifting, and kind of makes you think, like, all right, like, I got this. So when I did the backwards one, I was like, okay, I've never seen this before, and I really love it. Like, so, and there was a great response to it. People were like, you know, it's stuff that people want, and it's been so fun to be able to make them. And, like, I love the minimal design that comes with it. So
it's very sleek, and I love that it's kind of got, like, a bubbly feel to it. The letters are just, like, bubbly feel.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's perfect, right? Because you're saying, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
And then it makes people think, and it does have that effect that you wanted, where it's not, like, so slam you in the face because
right.
slam is so abrasive.
Right,
you
right.
You want to ease into it and things like that, and it causes the thought still, which is really effective.
Right. Yeah, I love them. I'm very glad that I kind of like tapped into that. Obviously, my focus will always be on sports, but I have some concepts that's just like making them happen and figuring out the perfect font and making it exactly what I want it to be. Like, I don't want to release anything I don't feel good about. So there will hopefully be some more mental health stuff. But that's also, you know, there's places and people that specialize in that. So if that's their thing, I want them to be able to do it.
Yeah.
And then I can try it out, you know.
And where are your proceeds going? You mentioned that you have some proceeds.
It is called Life Act.
Life Act.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So proceeds go to that.
Yeah. Is that Cleveland-based too? Or is it, do you know?
I believe so.
Okay. And what's your website? Let's plug our website.
It is www.21thrift.shop. Yeah.
You're on Shopify?
Yeah.
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 That's awesome. So 21thrift.shop, everybody check it out. Go check out the I'm Glad You Woke Up line, of course, amongst all the other Cleveland clothes and I guess other cities too, since Rebecca's on to it and at it. But I had to ask you about that because first of all, I think it's awesome what you're doing. And secondly, it's just different. You know,
yeah.
I think that things that are different deserve some attention if they're good.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
So as we kind of get towards the end, I have like three questions that I bang out that are really kind of good in me. So the first one is, do you have any major influences in your life? And if so, is it like you could look at it from people you know mm-hmm. or people that maybe you've never met? Because I think there's both.
I would say, two of my best friends, we've been friends for 2 years, and you know Natalie. I think it's crazy that it's only been 2 years. It feels like it's been three. But I was going through a super rough time right before I had become friends with them. I'd lost a friendship that was like the most important thing to me. And they kind of came in and they changed my perspective about a lot of things. Their willingness to just be so open and supportive. And just having people in your life that are doing good things as well. Like having people that are consistently working out, or like we go to workout classes together, or like, you know, not drinking all the time and stuff like that. Like they have really like turned me around into like wanting to be better for myself, and like just that their friendship, and like I can go to them with anything, and we are wildly opposite. Like to have people, I'm a bit of a wild child, and they're a lot more tame, and they don't judge me, and they don't, you know, anything like that. Like I feel like they help me be better with that as well, like not judging people, and not, you know, just because we view the world a different way doesn't mean that we can't coincide and be friends. And so I feel like they have had such an impact on me over the last few years.
Yeah. When they listen to this, I hope they rewind and get that feedback again. It's incredible when you surround yourself with good people.
My friends are amazing. I just had last night, I've had so much support in the last few months with the girls' room, and like my friends show up to every event. They're buying tickets, like, so I have a really solid group of friends. So last night I told them, I was like, I want everybody to come over, and I just want to treat everyone to a girls' night. I'll cook. And I wrote everybody a handwritten letter just to tell them, like, I just think it's so important to tell people how much they mean to you.
Yeah.
Because
spot on.
Yeah. Yeah. I always say it, like, you have to tell people how much they mean to you, because how are they going to know if not, you know?
Rebecca, it's only weird to people because they don't do it. Right.
Right.
Like, I think it's one of those things that once you start practicing that, mm-hmm. you realize how effective it is.
Right.
And you don't have to regret not saying something.
Exactly.
And you never have to wonder. And then also that person doesn't have to question anything. Like,
right.
It's like, they just told me. They went out of their way to tell me that.
Right. Yeah. One of my guy friends, I was telling him that I was doing that, and he was like, man, it's women are so different than men. He was like, if one of my guy friends got me a little basket of things and wrote me a letter, I would cry. He's like, I would cry. I would love that. He's like, but men just don't do that. And I was like, that's why I'm kind of glad I'm a woman, because I can. Like, not that you guys can't, but it's just like, that's just like naturally ingrained in who I am.
Yeah.
Is just to like, just to tell people how much they mean to me. I don't know. I feel lucky to know so many wonderful people.
I'm just going to say like to that guy and just to anyone, like, yeah, okay, I don't, if anyone gave me a basket, I'd be a little, like, from a guy to another guy, a basket would be a little weird. I'm yeah. I'm on that wave with him, but I think like there's some value. There's so much value. I think the written word or just spoken word is so important, right? Like, I've shared this story before, but to share it again is, I had a buddy of mine write me a letter maybe 3 months ago at this point, and he just wrote me a quick letter. He's in law school, and he says to me, he's like, hey man, really appreciate you, appreciate our friendship and just the bond that we have. Like, you're inspiring, I'm inspired by you, and I am inspired by our friendship.
And you'll keep that letter forever.
Yeah, it's hanging up right
over
my desk.
I have every handwritten letter I've ever gotten, I will never ever get rid of.
No, it's important. It's not, it's, again, okay, so let's look at it. I think it's fascinating that people think it's weird because what you're doing is good. So again, I don't think girls think it's as weird. But
yeah.
Like, so let's say people are weird, right, by this idea. Okay, so they don't like this premise. What you're doing is inherently good. So they're somewhere beneath the goodness.
Right.
And then, like, the more you do it, the better it gets.
Right.
And that separation from that energy is incredible.
And then, like, to me, I'm like, you know, I'm one to look back on things. Like, I love looking at old pictures. I love reminiscing. And if I'm having a bad day, like, maybe I need to go read that letter and just remind myself that someone felt that way about me at some point in their life, you know. Somebody thinks I'm a good person. Like, sometimes you just have to remind yourself that you're a good person. Like,
right. Yeah.
And having other people acknowledge that is, you can't beat it. It's priceless.
It is priceless. Wow, I'm really touched by this. It's a good one.
Thanks.
So you mentioned those two friends who are really special. That's awesome. Are there other influences that you wanted to touch on?
I feel like, you know, it's strange because in a way it's kind of a bad thing. I never had our family. Yes, we were, you know, outgoing and all that, but we were not like a close knit, I love you family. I honestly like couldn't tell you at the time that my dad ever told me he loved me just out of nowhere. And I think that really affected me a lot growing up, and I wanted that and I needed that and I didn't get it. So I think that is why I have been so open about how I feel about people, because I craved it so much that I don't want anyone to ever like feel like they don't matter, or like, you know, that they're not loved, and that I'm not proud of them just for waking up. Like, you know, it's just, I think that negative aspect growing up really shaped me into trying to be the best person that I can be.
Right. It's amazing that hardship really turned into something that you do beautifully, which is that part of others. And it's courageous in a way to share those things, because you're putting yourself out there. Mm-hmm. Even though it's about that, it takes a certain sense of courage and ingenuity to put it out there like that. So,
yeah.
With that, I have another question to go down the line for you. This is a tough one. Do you have any regrets?
You know, I honestly don't really think that I do. Yeah, there's decisions that maybe I'm like, okay, that might not have been the best decision. But I really do think even the hardest things that I've gone through have made me better. And like I said before, I try not to like harp on the negative things. I don't have time for that. Life is far too short. I was just saying the other day, I am living my life for my 80-year-old self. So when I'm 80, I'm looking back and being like, she had a great life. She was fun. She did whatever she wanted. Like, I really don't. And even like those hardships, like, they helped me grow into an adult, you know. I don't think that I couldn't tell you one thing that I would be like, yeah, I regret that.
I love that response. I'm with you on that one, because I think, right, there's instances where you look back and you say, I wish I treated someone differently.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look back at that and you can say that now because you've learned that you wish you had treated them differently. So it's hard to say. And so I think reflective people, which you sound like you are, and you've exhibited that throughout our conversation, tend a lot of times to have that approach where it's like, well,
I wish I would have communicated something differently or been better at communicating. But I also learned how to communicate after the fact. So I can't be mad at myself because I didn't know how to do it then.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
Yeah.
Similarly, one of my last questions, and I think a tie into the regret thing, I contend that people who are grateful live better lives, that they're happier, just, to be honest with you, just better people than people who aren't grateful.
Yeah.
So what role does gratitude, no pressure, what role does gratitude play in your life?
Actually, I mean, it's really like, I say it all the time, I'm so lucky. That is like one thing that, when people are asking about my business, I just say, I'm so lucky. I feel so lucky. And they're like, no, you work really hard. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm so lucky that I am able to work that hard and that I put myself in this position, but I still feel so lucky. Like, I think it is very important to be grateful for what you have, and even sometimes to be grateful for what you don't have yet, because that's the motivation that you want. You want to look back and be like, oh, I did all this. Like, you know, and it's like ties into the friends thing. Like, I make it uncomfortable. I tell my friends how much I love them so often because I don't know what I would do without them. Like, right. That's my family. And I know, like, you know, some people have that family dynamic where they're so grateful for their family and they're best friends with their family. And I'm almost more grateful that I don't have that because it makes me hold my friends to a different value and like a different standard. And I just really do feel lucky for my life. I really am living the life that my 13-year-old self wanted when I was 30. You know, like, yeah. I wanted this to be my life when I was 30, and I just feel very lucky for
God,
it.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
McConaughey has a famous story about the road. He talks about his hero, like who his hero is, and it's not one I frequently share, but he always, have you heard this? Mm-hmm. Where he talks about, he's like, if someone asks me, like, who would be your hero? He's like, oh, well, I don't know yet. Like, what do you mean you don't know yet? He's like, well, ask him, like, my hero's gonna be me in 10 years.
Right.
Not 10 years later, they ask him, it's like, well,
yeah.
10 years, keep pushing it, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, it's partially I'm living for my 80-year-old self, partially I'm living for my 13-year-old self.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
There's great continuity in that, right? And that flow state is very good because it's consistent. Mm-hmm. And even though you describe yourself as a wild child, it sounds like your inner wants and the inner brain are working in unity with past and present and future selves of you.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I'm very, very intentional with everything that I do because I fully believe in karma and I fully believe that what you put out, you get back. And I think that's why I have been so lucky is because I'm putting out that energy and so I'm calling it back to me.
You know? And you start thinking of other people and you, like, your actions are on the basis of, like, how does this affect others too? Mm-hmm. Then you find that you're making good decisions for yourself because they're also good for other people too.
And right.
Like, that hedonistic internal, like, I'm going to do this for me and only me, doesn't work. It doesn't get you anywhere.
No.
Right?
No.
So I think...
And people recognize that. They know when you're doing that.
100%. Mm-hmm. 100%. So when you talk about karma, I think it's the buzzword, right? Like, that's like the big word, but I think at the root of it, it's just, if it's good for someone else, it's probably good for you too, and vice versa almost.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Do you have any closing thoughts? I always open it up. Do you have anything you want to tailor to a specific audience, whether it's someone trying to get into the thrifting, the clothing world, someone who's a young woman out there and maybe could use friends and is, I don't know, in San Diego and they don't have
I mean, if you want to do something, try it, because the worst thing you can do is fail. But if you believe in yourself, it's going to work. Going into the girls' room, I knew that it was going to work. Mm-hmm. So just try it. And if you need help, send me a message. I'm always, like, I try to respond to every message I can and get back to people and make those connections. So I'm like, come to an event, come meet me. If you want to work with me, like, I would love that. Like, I'm here for all the connections.
That's incredible. Yeah. Rebecca, what are some of yours? What's your social media stuff?
So my personal Instagram is just rebecca.maxwell.
Okay.
And then the clothing business is 21thrift, all spelled out with period in between. So 2TWO.ONE.thrift. And then the girls' room is it's_thegirlsroom. So, and I have them all linked in all of my bios and stuff. So they're very easy to find. Once you find one, you'll find them all. But
and Rebecca is Rebecca.
Yes.
So just talking about that. And as of course, my listeners know, I'll have that linked in the description below. If you are listening to the podcast, if you're on YouTube, I'm still hated on YouTube. So it'll be in the pinned comments. Hopefully one day I can link these. I have this running thing where I can't link anything in YouTube. I don't understand it. So if you're on YouTube and you're watching, thank you, and check out the pinned comment for all of Rebecca's information and social media. If you're listening to this podcast, I appreciate you. Either site you are on, please make sure you hit that subscribe button. Again, check out Rebecca's information, and I thank you for being here and just for opening your heart to me and to our audience. Rebecca, it's been an awesome conversation. You're a wonderful person with great visions.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Everybody, this has been another episode of Chats with Clark. I'm your host, Joe Clark, signing off. Thanks for tuning in.